As I mentioned on a number of occasions, I have a daily routine that I go through every morning. I read Our Daily Bread. I read The Upper Room. I'm reading Jesus Call always, and spending time in prayer. Back in mid-December, I was reading this particular one. This is from The Upper Room, December 14th. And it really got me thinking. And sometimes I get some good ideas about messages and everything from reading some of these. And this is one in particular. It says, a few weeks ago, my pastor preached about the fruitful tree of John 15. Even when the tree bears much fruit, it never enjoys any of it, he said. The fruit is produced to be enjoyed by other living things, human or animal, that eat from the tree. I really like fruit, especially grapes, melons, apples, and oranges. But after hearing this sermon, whenever I eat fruit, I remember the fruitful tree and savor the taste even more. In a similar way, God wants our lives to bear much fruit so we can be a blessing to others. To be fruitful, we must always remain in Jesus. Remain in me, he said, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We remain in Jesus by reading and meditating on God's word each day and putting it into practice. When we bear much fruit, we can be a blessing to others. When we become a blessing to others, we bring glory to God. This was written by someone from East Java, Indonesia. And it really got me thinking about fruit, and I was fairly familiar with the passage anyway in John 15. And that's what I have here in the bulletin, and I'll read that to you. There, John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And just stop for a moment. I don't know how many of you grow anything, but we do. And every year I've got to go out and prune the raspberries and prune the blackberries, especially the blackberry plant that we had before we wound up transplanting it. This thing really grew. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with a blackberry plant, but you get some of these branches, some of these shoots, and boy, they go crazy all over the place. They're long, they reach out and hang down and everything. But they're not the ones that bear the fruit. The ones that bear the fruit are the shorter ones that stay kind of closer to the main trunk. But you have to prune those long ones. But you have to prune the long ones, otherwise it runs wild. And you think about it, you know, in the fall the leaves get shed and everything, and there's food, there's energy stored in the roots. So over winter, you know, the bush is dormant. And then spring, that energy and that food that was stored in the roots comes forth, okay? And the bush starts producing leaves and buds and new sprouts and branches and everything. But if you let a lot of that energy go to those non-producing branches, you don't get as much fruit. And you need to prune them back. You want a lot of fruit, right? And that holds true for other plants as well, not just the blackberry bush, but that's the one that stands out in my mind because I have to deal with it every year. But the whole point of pruning is to remove that which does not produce anything or much of anything so that all the energy of the plant can go to producing the fruit. And I think God deals with us in the same way. He prunes some things from us that are not important or of little importance, that don't produce anything. They're just there. Maybe it's certain habits or certain ways of doing things or things in our lives that are okay by themselves, but they don't produce any fruit. And the Lord is looking for fruit. And if you remember the time that he was around Jerusalem and he came out of the city and he saw this fig tree and he was hungry, but it didn't have any fruit on it, and he wound up cursing it, and it shriveled up and died. He was looking for fruit. In the same way, the Lord is looking for spiritual fruit in our lives. He looks at each one of us, and he wants to see fruit. And just like in that little story I read, the fruit that we bear benefits others, right? Just like the tree. The tree doesn't, the peach tree, an apple tree, pear tree, whatever. The tree doesn't enjoy any of the fruit. The tree just produces it. It's for others to enjoy. And like with us, the fruit that we produce is to be enjoyed by others. How many of you have ever, let's say, been going through a trial or something? And somebody just out of the blue gives you a call because you were on their hearts. And they spoke words of encouragement to you and it lifted you up and it made you feel so much better. Have any of you ever had that happen to you? I'm sure most of you have. You're tasting someone else's fruit. That's the fruit that person is bearing. And you're tasting of it. That encouraging phone call, or maybe that letter, or maybe something else that they do for you, lifting you up in prayer. You're tasting the fruit and enjoying it. And that's what God wants to produce in each one of us. But let me go on here. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Yeah, that's kind of like what I do with the branches that I trim for my raspberries and blackberries and other plants. What do you do with them? You get rid of them, right? They're worthless once they're pruned out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And this is how we glorify our Father in heaven, by producing much fruit. Maybe we don't get to taste of it because we're like the tree that produces the fruit that others enjoy. But still, he wants us to bear much fruit. The more fruit we bear, the more people that can enjoy it. The more people that will maybe get that encouraging phone call, or will be getting that prayer support, or that physical help maybe with a difficult task or something. The more fruit that we produce, the more others can enjoy it. But by the same token, I get to enjoy the fruit that you produce, too. So even though I don't enjoy my own fruit, I get to enjoy yours. And that's a good thing, because we all benefit each other. The fruit that we bear is a blessing, and it glorifies our Father. When he sees the fruit that we bear, he's very pleased. He loves to see that, and we glorify him because we know that ultimately it comes from him. Just like the branch of a blackberry bush needs to remain in the main trunk of the plant, otherwise it can't bear fruit. We need to remain in him. So in a sense, the fruit that we bear comes from him to begin with. Our nourishment comes from him because he is the vine. We're just simply the branches. All of our nourishment comes from him. Just like the branches on a blackberry bush get their nourishment from the roots. Are we rooted in Jesus, where our nourishment comes from? That's the important thing. We need to be rooted in him, firmly established, drawing our nourishment and strength from him so that we can bear much fruit. And that's the whole point. And our Father is glorified because everyone can see the good things that we do. We know where it comes from, our relationship with him. And therefore he is glorified. But there's something else too in here that's very, very important that maybe we gloss over. I don't know. Near the end it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh my goodness. Is that a promise? A very special, precious promise or what? If we abide in him, remain in him, get our nourishment from him, look to him for all things, for our sustenance, our help, everything. We can ask whatever we want and we'll have it. Doesn't express any limitations in here. And I think the reason it doesn't is because if we truly abide in him to the fullest that we are capable, the desires that we have in our heart will coincide with his will and his purposes. So anything that we ask would naturally be acceptable to him, and he would grant to us because they're in keeping with his will anyway. You want to get your prayers answered? Press deeper into Jesus. Live closer to him. Draw your strength from him. Drink deeper from the well of his goodness. Rely on him for everything. Don't take anything for granted. Commit everything to him. Thank him for everything. Praise him for everything. Live your life as if he was right there with you, because truly he is anyway. And not only that, he's within you. Just as Candy shared earlier from Jesus Always, he knows everything about you, and he's more intimately involved in your life than you can ever imagine. Sometimes we feel his presence or sense his presence, and sometimes we don't. It doesn't matter whether we sense it or not. He's there. He's with us. He's in us. He is intimately involved. Everything. Everything that we say, he knows ahead of time. Every place we go, he's already there waiting for us and with us as we go there. Everything we do, every task we undertake, every thought we have, he's intimately involved in and knows. And he wants it that way. But he wants us to freely give more of ourselves to him so that our life with him can be richer and more blessed. And when it is, then we'll see more and more of our prayers be answered. That's a wonderful thing. Wonderful promise that we have from him, to abide in him and ask anything that we desire and it will be done. Boy, it certainly encourages me and spurs me on to to live a life that is closer to Him, and I hope it does the same for you. But regardless, draw nearer to Him so that you can receive more nourishment to bear more fruit. That sweet tasting, sweet smelling, delicious fruit that the children of God are to produce, and that we can all enjoy from one another. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Every time you taste a little bit of that fruit, you're tasting of Him. Praise God. Let's be encouraged and strive to be fruitful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word to us, for the promises You give us, for the encouragement. Help us indeed, Lord, to bear much fruit, good fruit, and knowing too that all fruit is different. Just like we have apples and pears and oranges and different kinds of berries, different kinds of plants, melons and what have you. Each fruit is different, looks different, tastes different, smells different, but each is enjoyed. And likewise, the fruit that we bear is all different as well. It doesn't matter, in a sense, what kind of fruit we bear. As long as we bear Your fruit, the kind that You want us to bear, and that it ripens so that it is luscious and enjoyed by those who partake of it. Help us to be fruitful, Lord, in our own way, relying on You for whatever it takes to produce that fruit. Father, thank You. We commit ourselves to You and pray that You would help us to abide even more deeper in You than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.